الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي بلغنا شهر رمضان وجعله موسما للخير والإحسان وتلاوة القرآن. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله، بعثه الله تعالى رحمة للعالمين، واختار له صحابة أكرمين. فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصلي عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has bestowed us this beautiful and sacred month of Ramadan, and so far has enabled us to reap the reward during the days and nights of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to shower His blessings and mercy upon us and enable us to protect ourselves from the fire of hell, and send peace and blessings upon the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and upon his noble family, and upon the righteous companions, and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam. Last week we discussed the primary objective of the month of Ramadan, which is to cultivate taqwa. And we expanded upon this by explaining that taqwa is their ability to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and protect yourselves and keep away from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what taqwa is: being always and constantly aware consciously of the hudud, ahkamat, and the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also learn the month of Ramadan teaches us patience, teaches us discipline and various other aspects. So I want to talk about preparation, because every single one of us has prepared for Ramadan in some way or manner. But there will be people who prepare for Ramadan from a worldly perspective, there will be people who prepare for Ramadan from a religious, sacred and spiritual perspective. So inshallah al-aziz, we will discuss some of those aspects today. Like everything in life, everything requires preparation. That is absolutely key. And if you are traveling, especially to Pakistan, then you know very well how much preparation is required. Not just to get out of this country, but then also the gifts and the mehman and so many other things that are awaiting for you on your arrival in Pakistan. So traveling requires a huge amount of preparation. And similarly, students undergoing their exams, they prepare immensely day and night. I'm not just talking about the one night before, but generally studious students work hard and diligently and prepare well in advance for their exams. And chefs on a daily basis for their kitchen service, for their dinner service, they prepare meticulously by purchasing the correct ingredients, by preparing them and washing them and making sure everything's at the right temperature and cooked and presented in the correct manner. And Ramadan is no exception. And every single one of us, the way we prepare for our worldly duties, just like when you go to work every single day, you have an alarm, you wake up, you know the distance between your home to your place of work, and you need to prepare in advance for that, what you will say, what you will do, and your objectives of that particular day. So we all prepare on a regular and daily basis for the dunya. And this is also more important for us to remind ourselves that we need to prepare also for our deen as well. So preparation is the key to success in the dunya as well as in the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared the month of Ramadan for us. And He has made it absolutely easy for us to understand, to approach, to digest, and to maximize our time during the days and nights of Ramadan. What is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it manageable for us. Okay? That there are limited days of Ramadan. Ayyaman ma'dudat. Limited amount of days. So we know we're not, you know, in the dark about this. We know it's either going to be 29 days and it's going to be 30 days. One or the other. It's not going to be 31. It's not going to be 2 months or 3 months or 7 months or an entire year of fasting. We know that we can manage very easily these 29 and 30 days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So this is a very important thing to consider, the manageability of your affairs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the outset has said, don't worry. Don't stress, don't be anxious. Kis tarah si, and you know how you're going to manage for these days and nights. It's just a limited amount of time where you have to fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even though there are limited days, 29 or 30 days, nevertheless, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlimited. The rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlimited in comparison to the limited days. So even though you only have these set days, don't worry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has flung open His treasures and for you to receive an abundant amount of mercy and rahmah and barakah and forgiveness and everything else that you require. So this is a huge incentive for us to realize that we need to maximize our time. Do you know whenever there's a sale going on, we in our mind we know we're going to go to this shop first and then this shop and go to this particular area within the store to maximize our time, because after a limited amount of time, those sales will finish. So this is a bonanza, this is a sale given to Allah, given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with an unlimited amount of rewards. The second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done in preparation for us, remember He doesn't need to do any of these things, but He has gifted the month of Ramadan for the sake of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, to please the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to reassure the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that whilst our lives may be shorter in comparison to previous nations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us these opportunities and scattered them throughout the year whereby we can maximize our life and our efforts and our ibadat. So the second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does for us in preparation of Ramadan is that the first is the fiercest, the most troublesome of enemies to insan, which are the devils, the shayateen and jinn. The devils and jinns are all shackled to chains in this month of Ramadan to make this season a season of worship, a season of reflection, a season of connection and contemplation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make it easy. Okay? So if you know there's a sale going on, but there is a diversion, you're going to be disheartened and you're going to think, forget it, there's no point going there, there's too much effort, there's too much struggle to get to that particular place for me to retrieve my reward. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it manageable, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, all the obstacles that you will have, the major, the most difficult obstacle in your life is that of the shaitan and that of the jinn. I would remove them from your way and your path. So really you have to ask yourself, there is nothing stopping you coming from your home on a daily basis to read Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, to pray Taraweeh. There is no impediment. There is no restriction. It is only yourself that prevents yourself from coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the shayateen and jinn have been shackled and placed far, far away. They will not cause you any trouble. It is the only thing that you have to work on is your nafs, is your ego, are your whims and your desires. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam reminds us that on the first night of Ramadan, tika, not the second or third or fifth or the last night, tika, I'll get to it when I get to it. No, on the very first night, as soon as the night of Ramadan begins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chains up all of the devils and all of the rebellious jinn, so that they will not cause any havoc and inconvenience to you. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepares this month for us, for our ease. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam that all the gates of hell are closed and not one remains open. We all have this fear that we're going to burn, that we may end up in the fire of hell, that these are the punishments and the consequences of us disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is saying, don't worry, forget about this, that's closed. Nobody can access that at this moment in time. You don't even need to think or contemplate about the fire of hell. The doors and all of the doors and the levels of the fire of hell, they've all been sealed and closed and none remain open whatsoever. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you more incentive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to encourage you, to just like you said, baby, aja, you know, when you have a small child, to encourage, because you want them to come too close to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to return to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to return under His throne, under His arsh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to go back to our origins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens all of the gates of paradise, and all of the gates are open and none remain closed whatsoever. So it is open access. Open access. If you want to get into Jannah, the doors are open. What do you need to do? Pray, worship, ibadah, tazkiyah, tafakkur, tawbah, istighfar. Do these things and the doors are open and you'll be able to enter, and you'll be permitted to enter into the gardens of paradise. So look at how Rahman, look at how Rahim, how compassionate and how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that He has managed all of our affairs for us, given us these limited days, and maximized our rewards with unlimited reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, removed the fiercest enemy from our path, opened all of the doors of Jannah and closed all of the doors of Jahannam. And then furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this reminder that every single night, not just once a fortnight or once a week, you know, just like we just about make it to Jummah once a week. No, every single night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees those people who are originally destined for the fire of hell. This is another reward. This is another preparation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed for the mu'mineen, for the muslimin, for the muhsineen, that I will free you from the fire of hell. But you need to come to me. You need to turn to me. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, and there are those who were destined for the fire, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ransoms from it every single night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes them from that list, removes them from that category that you were originally destined for the fire of hell, but because you came to my worship, you sincerely worshipped me, and you did the tilawah of the Qur'an, and you maintained your fast for my sake, I will remove you from the fire of hell. And then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within this particular month a very, very precious pearl, which is the night of Laylatul Qadr, wherein we worship Him on that particular night in the correct manner, with the correct belief, with the correct sincerity and ikhlas, and it is far greater than 1,000 months, 83 years and 4 months, far greater than that. Supersedes those particular days and months. This is if we truly worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. And the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam reminds us that during Ramadan is a night that is better than 1,000 months. However, whoever is deprived of its goodness is deprived indeed. So look at all of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for us. So do we really have an excuse not to fast, not to pray, not to worship, not to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to be saved from the fire of hell, not to be worthy recipients of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness and barakah? All of these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the ummah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So how do other people actually prepare for the month of Ramadan? Because we've just seen a glimpse of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepares Ramadan for us. But then you will see the people of the dunya, the people of ghafla, the people of heedlessness, the people of forgetfulness, the people who are not concerned or worried about the hereafter. They actually fail to appreciate and prepare for the month of Ramadan. How do they approach the month of Ramadan? Their primary focus, unfortunately, is to make sure that the fridge is full to the brim and that all the cupboards are full as well. It needs to be stocked up for another ice age. This is the month of Ramadan. We don't know what we will need for sahri, what we will need for iftari. Everything needs to be there, just in case, just in case. So their primary focus, instead of thinking about all of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared, their primary focus, unfortunately, is to stack up the fridge and the kitchen, making a month of feasting. And we know who those people are. We always want lazeez dishes and different varieties every single day. I had these things yesterday. I can't eat these things again. I can't eat these things for sahri. Everything needs to be different, and you need to make it appetizing and attractive. So they fail to regulate their diet, and their intake of the food and the consumption increases, and they end up wasting their food, and they end up not appreciating the objectives of Ramadan, which is not to overeat, not to make sure that you eat enough for you to get through the entire day and the next day and the next day, only eat sufficiently for you to get through the end of the day. And instead of preserving food and sharing food, they end up wasting food and also wasting money as well, end up even gaining weight. I know people, I personally know people, in the month of Ramadan they have actually gained weight, which is amazing, subhanAllah. And not just do they do that, but they also end up burdening their wives and their mothers and their sisters as well. Your mothers, your wives, your children are not there to prepare different dishes every single day. They have the month of Ramadan gifted to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ibadah. Let them do their ibadah as well. But if they are preparing and buying and shopping and then cleaning and preparing, they'll end up spending 3 to 4 hours for iftari and another couple of hours for sahri. When will they find the time to do ibadah, to do the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You are preventing them from actually fulfilling their objectives and purpose of Ramadan. So you need to, you know, keep yourself at bay. You need to simplify your sahri and also simplify your diet as well. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in regards to this, mentions that the fullest bellies, you know, so the fullest bellies on the day of Qiyamah will be, sorry, the fullest bellies in the dunya, you know, when we eat to our full, the fullest bellies in the dunya will be the hungriest on the day of Qiyamah. If this is how we want to be, no, it's very important that we always maintain the order of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that we leave 1/3 of air within our stomach, we reserve 1/3 for water and 1/3 for food, and not fill our stomachs to the top, and we can even feel it in our throat and what's going on or how much we have eaten and consumed. So this is another important thing for us to reflect upon, to see, are we those people of the dunya and ghafla? This is how we prepare for Ramadan. And then secondly, you will see these people, they will show signs of displeasure and discomfort and irritation as the month of Ramadan begins or it is about to arrive. And they will find lots of excuses. Believe me, I receive messages and calls all the time. Silly, silly excuses that I have a headache, can I not fast? Or, you know, I've pricked myself and this has happened and that's happened. Silly excuses not to fast. And these are the people, unfortunately, they will find excuses not to fast or make exceptions and only will fast due to the expectations of their family, expectations of the community. What will people say? What will my mother say? What will my father say? And then due to that pressure, they will end up fasting. Really, their heart is not fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their mind does not want to fast, their bodies do not want to fast. So these are some people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these people. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. That they hated what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed. The month of Ramadan has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of the Quran has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people who have a discomfort and displeasure, you know, an irritation towards Ramadan, and do we have to fast? Is it necessary? I'll find excuses and ways and means and loopholes to not fast. These are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in the Quran, that they hated what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed. So as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rendered their deeds null and void. So is this how we want to be on the day of Qiyamah when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Even after supposedly fasting for His sake, when we turn to Allah, Allah ta'ala will say, well, actually, you didn't do it lovingly. You didn't do it because you wanted to do it. You did it because you were forced. You did it because of the pressure, because of the expectation. So this is another important aspect to understand. And thirdly, these people of the dunya and ghafla, they prepare for Ramadan by regulating their work hours. And not so that they can maximize their time in their ibadah, and then they can maximize their nawafil and the zikr and the tilawat of the Quran. Then they maximize and regulate their work hours so that they can maximize their sleep, and sleep as much as possible, and stay up very little, in fact. And this is something what we need to consider as well, that are we spending more time sleeping, more time eating, or are we spending more time in the ibadah and the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fourthly, they prepare for a month of catching up. Because of Ramadan, other expectations drop, and say, okay, I need to catch up on this soap and this show box and all of these other things, and they catch up on these particular things, and they catch up on their gossip, and they make sure that they have their iftar with those particular people and those particular friends where they will take them away from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sit in places of disobedience. You will see your own brothers and sisters on Wimsler Road and other places at the time of iftar. Maghrib has come and gone, and they're still enjoying themselves. They're on their hookah, they're on their shisha, they're smoking the this and that. Tarawih will come and go, and they'll still be there chatting away, disobeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those type of friends that you have in the month of Ramadan, who you sit with and where you sit, will dictate how much your Ramadan will be accepted. And fifthly, these are the people of the dunya and ghafla, they will be actively searching for the shortest tarawih, for the fastest tarawih and the shortest tarawih. 8 tarawihs and they're off, okay? Or the fastest tarawih and they're off. Why? Because salah for them is not something which gives them satisfaction, which gives them itminan, which gives them love and hope and yakin and contentment, and they get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, salah for them rather is a burden. Jaldi jaldi karo, maghru lao. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in the Quran, that it is difficult except for the humbly submissive. That salah is difficult for those people whose heart is not in the right place. And it's difficult unless you are humbly submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your khushu, in your khudu, in your reflection and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then salah becomes an enjoyment. Salah becomes a pleasure. But for those people who don't have that connection, then salah becomes a burden for them. And you will see these people finding every opportunity to go out. Imam reads too slow, imam reads like this or like that, and the tarawis take too long, and they will find any opportunity to get out of the masjid. And even now masjid, they will be sitting in the atrium talking over the recitation of the Quran during the month of Ramadan. So we need to ask ourselves, which type of people are we? So these are the people of the dunya, of the ghafla, and this is how they prepare for Ramadan. But compare this and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats them with unlimited mercy, unlimited protection, unlimited forgiveness, with the month, with the Laylatul Qadr, with so many other things, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared Ramadan for them on a silver platter and golden platter, but how these people are approaching and accepting the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling out to them that come towards me and I will give you this and I will give you this, and Jannat is open for you, and I will protect you from all of these things. But these are the people who are shutting every opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is throwing their way. So they are the third type, or rather the second type. So you had the people of the dunya and the ghafla, but then you also have the people of taqwa, the people of iman, the people of tahara, the people of ikhlas. And they are those who are eagerly anticipating the arrival of Ramadan, and they arduously prepare for the month of Ramadan, and they continuously and passionately make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the month of Ramadan, and also continue throughout the month of Ramadan, because they know of all of the treasures that are placed within the month of Ramadan. They seek these opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed. The Sahaba ikram would miss the month of Ramadan throughout the year, and as soon as Ramadan was nearing, they would continuously do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ballighna Ramadan. Allahumma ballighna Ramadan. And these are the people of iman and taqwa. They prepare and they continuously purify their intentions. Because one is you just make an intention, tiga roze rakhne. The one is staying on top of your intention, renewing your intentions and purifying and strengthening your intentions. And they recognize the opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the month of Ramadan, because they know that this is the month where their sins can be completely washed away. Not only can they get the maghfirah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can also receive the pardon from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forgiveness is when your sins are forgiven but they remain in your record. But pardon is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only forgives you but also removes your sins from your record. So nobody else knows, only you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they know, the people of Iman and Taqwa, that this is the month of forgiveness and also the month of pardon as well. And therefore the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam describes these people that whoever fasts the month of Ramadan out of belief and hope for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Iman and Wahtisab, all of his previous sins will be erased by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that not what we want? What we want to achieve, our core objective, to be purified, to be cleansed, so that we are able and qualified to return back into the gardens of paradise, back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people of Iman and Taqwa, they prepare by creating and strengthening their connection with the Qur'an, with the month of fasting, and also with Taraweeh as well. No athlete will ever participate in anything without warming up. No boxer will go into the ring without warming up. Similarly, the people of Taqwa and Iman, before the month of Ramadan, they fast as much as possible, following the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They make sure they put aside all of their worldly things so that they can focus and concentrate on the tilawah of the Qur'an during the month of Ramadan. And they complete as much recitation as possible. And they eagerly go and they enjoy these nights of Ramadan, because standing up in the month of Ramadan is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enabling you to enabling you to achieve the gardens of paradise once again. And these people of Iman, they prepare by evaluating and reflecting on every single sin that they struggle with. And this is an important aspect of Ramadan. But not only are we looking towards the mercy and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we're also looking on ourselves. Introspection is a very important thing in the Ramadan. So what are my failings? What are my sins? What are the things that I am doing wrong? How can I overcome them in the month of Ramadan, where the shayateen are no longer here, the jinn are no longer here, the distractions are no longer here, all of these opportunities are here. How can I overcome this? How can I stamp this out and get better and more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And just like the body, when it is ill, you don't feel like eating anything or drinking anything, and you don't enjoy that particular food or item. Similarly, when you are burdened with sins, you can never taste the lazza of ibadah. Remember this. Remember this. You will only taste the lazza, the beauty and the sweetness of ibadah when your sins diminish, when your sins are removed, when your heart is purified. Other than that, you're just robotic and you're just going through the motions. So the month of Ramadan is reflecting upon yourself and your sins, and absorbing yourself and removing all of those sins from your heart, so that you can truly taste the lazza of ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the month of Ramadan. And the people of Iman and Taqwa are those who put together an action plan, just the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared Ramadan with all of these things. These people also have these high objectives and goals, and they do not suffice for anything lower than that. They push themselves and they excel to the best of their abilities. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people of Iman and Taqwa and Tahara in the month of Ramadan, and enable us all to truly appreciate all of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for us in the sacred month of Ramadan. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.